Hello, and welcome to the School of Attraction podcast. I'm Damien Deeker, and I'll be talking to you about a range of topics from dating, attraction, masculinity, sexuality, life philosophy, and much, much more. So, without any further ado, let's get started. I hope you enjoy listening to today's podcast just as much as I've enjoyed creating it. Hey everyone, welcome back. It's Damien here from School of Attraction, and today in today's podcast, I'm going to be talking with a guy I've actually known for some time. We've talked before. We've done a shared YouTube a video in the past. He's a fellow dating coach, and as many of you know, I don't actually like a lot of dating coaches, but this is one of the ones I do like because I think a lot of them are the too surface level. There's too much BS going on, and when I came across Lloyd's channel. I mean, look, the bastard, when I first met him, his channel was half the size of mine, and now it's like double the size, so I hate you a little bit. But, you know, he's got good stuff to say. Like, it's solid. I agree with most of what I hear, and I like that. He comes from a good place. His name's Lloyd. He's from The Single Guy. Welcome, Lloyd. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. Pleasure to be on here. Damien, I really enjoyed our conversation last time, so I'm looking forward to talking with you again today as well.
Awesome. Yeah, me too. I think this is going to be an interesting one. I love doing podcasts with people who I think are interesting, and then we always have a good chat. And it's like having a good chat, and other people are enjoying it too. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, when I reached out to you and said, "Hey, let's do a podcast," we were talking about what topics or what we wanted to discuss, and you had brought up something which has been quite salient for me, and I've been talking about it recently in my YouTube videos a bit. Is I guess the way dating has been changing.
Right.
Both long-term and short-term.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of, like, things have definitely changed, but also some things haven't changed that people assume have. And and also, you know, for me being recently single, you know, being late 30s and dating again, what's different there, or some things that I'm noticing that, you know, is worth having a chat about as well. So we'll...
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that, actually. We don't have to get into your personal stuff right away, but...
Yeah. We'll save the personal stuff for later on for the real dedicated listeners.
We'll warm ourselves up a little bit before we work into that.
So, yeah, look, I mean, you were the one who originally sort of flagged the topic, even though it's something I've been talking about a lot. But what has been your thoughts on that? What initially were your thoughts?
So my thoughts, and you told me about this before we even started, is that, like, everyone complains about it. Like, all of our viewers and people who are commenting, especially on my, they like, "Oh, these days you can't even say hi to a woman. These days it's impossible to talk after COVID. It's impossible to talk to women after Me Too." There's always a new thing that happens that people are like, "Oh, dating's over." And if you're in a tough spot, it's really easy to blame the outside world for your problems. And I did that for years. You know, I'm sure, you know, when things weren't going so well for you, you know, you wanted to blame other people besides yourself. There's got to be another reason besides my own actions that are leading to my own unhappiness. And so when people are in there, they tend to, you get that side of the, because they're watching your stuff, because they obviously want to change, but they're disappointed with their results. And so they lash out. All right. And whenever I hear these things, I do a little shake of my head, but I have so much empathy for them, because in reality, I was in that position, you know, what, 10 years ago, 7-8 years ago, where I thought that dating was just getting worse and worse and you couldn't talk to somebody. You know, that was back in like 2013, 2015, when I was thinking that was before Me Too or any of that stuff was going on. And the same thoughts are coming up again. It's like, there's not that much that's new here. Yeah, sure, there's general trends and changes and, like, new technology comes out, like dating apps, but ultimately we're still talking about people, and people are always going to value human connection. Even if there's an app, or even if there's something, some easy way for them to meet, they're always going to value the human connection as number one. And that's what we focus on. So I'm not too worried about any of these new trends that come out. And ironically, has your, like, information or dating advice, has it changed a lot since all of these things have come out?
No, it really hasn't. Not much has had to, I mean, look, my dating advice around online dating has to keep shifting a little bit, because that's
the algorithm.
That landscape's changing a bit. But once they're off the app and they're back in real life, no, really not much has changed. Actually, pretty much at all. The one thing I think that has changed is any type of behavior that can be perceived as predatory has to be, you have to be a lot more careful with it. And I think that's one of the things that Me Too has flagged. I mean, that was never the best strategy anyway, right? Any time a woman feels predated on, it's not your optimal strategy anyway.
Yeah.
But I think what the Me Too has done is it's made people less tolerant of it from guys.
So, you know, if you're going to be aggressive, if a woman's like, oh, I've got a boyfriend, you know, I've got to go now and stuff, and the guy's like trying to kind of coerce her to stay and being really pushy, that's less acceptable. It was never the best way to go, but women will be more snarky now and more assertive, and that's changed. But I think that's a good change for all genders, actually, because
it is a good change.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I saw, I don't know if I've talked to you about it, but I have talked to a lot of friends about it, where I lived in Bali in Ubud, up in the mountains. It's a very hippie spiritual place. Right. And I lived there for about 6 months. Yeah. And it's very female dominated. It's predominantly women. And if you went,
feminine energy too, right?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
Yeah.
And if you went there with the pickup, like the stereotype pickup artist mindset, you'd be screwed, and not in a good way.
You'd be kicked out of the tribe.
Yeah, very much, because women would talk, right? Like that stuff's not going to fly. And so what you have there is you have an environment where the women get to guard men's behavior. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, that's shit. That's fucking horrible. That'd be... There was so much promiscuous sex going on there compared to anywhere else in the world, right? It's not a bad thing, because if women feel less guarded, then they're more willing to experiment and be open, right? But if they feel like they're going to be guarded against some sort of emotional assault, because it's not like physical assault these guys, like anyone's doing, it's only some sort of, then you get more of what you want. So if fewer men are being aggressive, like too overly aggressive, that's a good change. But yeah, other than that, to answer your question, nothing's changed. Like nothing about the advice about how to connect, flirt, be playful, even sexually escalate. Like if you're doing that appropriate, if you're doing that in the way you should have always been doing that, nothing's shifted.
And I think a big goal from what we talk about today, I don't know if this is your goal, Dan, it's my goal. Anyone who listens to this who thinks dating is harder, dating is bad right now, it sucks. My hope for you is by the end of this, you see dating, there's an incredible opportunity for it. Not going to say it's the best time ever, but it could be one of the best times ever. If you look at it in the right ways and you do the right things, it could be the best time ever for you because there's so much opportunity there. And I think when people get some negative experiences and they want to give up, my hope is that they listen to this and they think, you know what? There's plenty of opportunity out there and maybe I'm thinking about it in the wrong way. And if I go about it in the right way, I can start having positive experiences and start having a positive outlook towards it. Because me and you, we probably had so many positive experiences that it's like, it's so like when someone comes with this hate towards dating, I just, it's hard for me to relate anymore because I do relate because I used to have those feelings, but I've had so many positive experiences with women. It's like, I couldn't hate the process if I tried, you know, it's there and it's, yeah, sure. There's some things that might annoy me, but overall, like when I look back on it, I smile and it takes a while to get to that point though, I'll admit.
Yeah, it's hard. And I think something you mentioned before, which was the guys who feel like the world is against them. I think it's important to note that there are disadvantages that we can have. I mean, where we grew up, who we were raised by, the environment we had, the school. I mean, a good example, like all these things play such a strong role and whether we're disadvantaged or advantaged. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I went to an all-boys school, which is a big disadvantage. Like a lot of guys that I work with.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Right. Because you had no exposure to women at all. Women were this weird creature that, you know, you kind of saw on a train occasionally. But I then had the advantage of being sent to Europe when I was 14 to go to school in France for a while. And that was a unisex school. And I was an Australian in France. That was good. That was very positively reinforcing, right? And so we have these different experiences. And so I think we're not all equal. I think that's the thing. There is a huge amount of advantage, and it's not the world being against you. And I have yet to find a student who can't meet women. Like it's outrageous. Like the thing I often say to guys when guys,
being attacked.
The thing I often say to guys, and I don't know if you've ever said this to clients, but, you know, because I'll have a student who will say, look, I'm only 5'7". No woman's going to want to date me. You got to have the 3'6", 6 foot, six figures, six, whatever the other thing is, 6 inches, whatever it is. I can't remember what the third six is.
I think it's 6 inches.
Right. But if I go to the shopping center, like just to buy groceries, I'm surrounded by dads with their wives shopping with their kids who are like 5'6". You know what I mean? Definitely not earning six figures. I mean, the world is surrounded by counter examples,
counter arguments.
Yeah,
and so these people don't get out. These people don't get outside though, and they're like stuck indoors all day.
It's hard.
I mean, like, yeah. And so when you're in that position, you tend to focus on things that are on the web, right? Mm. Like, I had I'm not going to say his real name. Let's say his name was Carl. Okay. Carl was a guy who was in college. I was not getting girls. By the way, I sucked with women in college. Mm-hmm. Up until my senior year, I sucked. So I'm sucking with women, and I know this guy named Carl, and mm-hmm. he is throwing some of the craziest parties like almost every day in his house. This guy, I'm not joking, was 5'4" on a good day. Mm-hmm. Like if he stood up straight and had some like, you know, platform, he'd be 5'4". Skinny on top of being 5'4". And on top of that, he was a ginger.
Yep. Okay.
So all the things that you'd think, oh, people complain about. Yeah. He had the trifecta, right, in terms of looks. This guy dated one of the prettiest girls in the school for probably the last 2 years of his college career. And he did it because he emphasized the other qualities that matter that we talk about. He was a well-connected guy. Everybody liked him. He was actually kind of an asshole, but am I allowed to swear on this?
Yeah, go for it.
He was kind of a dick.
Yeah.
So, but he gave love to everybody. He invited me to all of his parties and he was always super excited to see me. Mm. And like so many people were like that to him. He was a well-liked person. That was enough for even women in their, like they say, their prime or like whatever the Red Pill people say. Mm. And she was really, really into him despite all of those characteristics that people focus on. It was because he emphasized the other things and he didn't give a shit that he was like that small or looked that way. It was his attitude and the way he carried himself. And yeah, sure, he did something that most people weren't able to do, but it was still possible. You know, he was still out there doing his thing and it worked, you know? And I remember, I even look back on that to this day. I think I sent him a message a couple of years ago where I just like, was like, yo, dude, you were really, you know, I looked up to you. And he's like, what, you looked up to me? And I was like, yeah, dude, you were the man back then. He was. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show you, like, you don't need those Chad characteristics that everybody talks about to be successful with women. It's not over for you. It's definitely possible. But mm-hmm. if you look at that Mount Rushmore of dating or whatever it is that people look at as like, this is what my life should be like, and you don't look at the individual steps to get there, which is what we help guys out with, then yeah, sure, of course you're going to think it's unachievable and dating's over, you know?
So if we take a step forward and think about what else, what have you seen change? Maybe that's a question to ask because, you know, what changes have you seen occur? Because, you know, I've seen some things and I'm still questioning whether it's dating in general or myself or age or the women I'm dating, because I'm seeing some shifts, some interesting stuff. But what have you seen?
Well, you're dating in your late 30s right now. Dating in your late 30s is different from dating in your 20s. You're actually in a really good spot, dude. Being late 30s and being a guy dating is you.
It's interesting.
Definitely have a lot more selection than you did when you're early 20s. But I like, let's just look at the general, like, let's say we'll compare it to how things were in the 70s and 60s for dating. You know, people are marrying later in life. I think the average age for marriage is like 31, for millennials or people around our age. It was like 25 or 26, back then. So, you know, it's gone up for like 6 years. And for most of my friends, I'll be honest with you, 31's young to get married, you know, especially I think if you live in a city for most of your life, 31's a pretty young age to be settling down. I know a lot of people that are waiting later. And so I think it's like to do with the rise of people being individuals now. Women are making their own money. And so they have less of a need to partner up, because that was, for a lot of women, that was the only way they were going to get a house or move out of their parents' houses if they married somebody. I think even in Marilyn Monroe's biography, she literally said her first husband was just to do that. It was just to get out of the house. She had no real interest in him, but she was so bored living at home with her parents that she just like wanted to get out somehow. The marriage was the only way for her to do that. So there's economic reasons why women are not as interested to get married super early or partner up. And I think it's also like people just have more selection too. You know, we meet a lot more people in our lives with social media, with dating apps and things like that. And I think some of the frustration might be because, you ever seen like the psychological studies that talk about how the more options you have when you're making a choice, the less satisfied you are with the choice that you make?
The choice paradox.
Yes, exactly. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with, you talk about online dating all the time. And I think some of those forces are at play. Mm. They're just nudging the age that people get married down the line. Mm. But the need for human connection is still there. And even though people might be, I do think people might get a little frustrated with the process because of all the options and because they want something specific and it's tougher to get. but it's still there and it's still happening. Most people are still getting married. Most people are still getting into relationships. And I think that needs still there. But what do you think?
I think it's interesting. One thing I want to add, people often, they look at the good old days of how dating used to work, right? And like, oh, women didn't work. They're not necessarily saying that was a good thing. But, you know, each gender had a role to play. The man, the money, the woman, the family. Everyone knew their role. Right. And that made life easier. And that was grand. And then you'd marry and you'd have the 1950s lifestyle. But actually what people miss, what is hugely overlooked, is the amount of abuse that used to happen in those households. Right. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of really, really unhappy marriages. And you only need to talk to the kids of those people to know how many messed up, broken households there were. Yeah. Sure, mom and pop were still together, but, you know, it wasn't always a toxic environment. Like today, not every relationship is toxic, but it wasn't. There's a lot that's overlooked in the grandiose narrative of how the good old days were, right? Women were dependent on men. And when you've got dependency, you've got abuse. And it's not because men are abusive. I'm not making that argument. I'm just saying both either men or women will be abusive if there's control, right? Mm-hmm. We can't, power corrupts. It's a cliche, but it's true in most cases.
It is true. I actually have a story about that. So I'm English. Mm. I'm half English, half Puerto Rican. Mm. On my father's side, his father and his mother, they divorced. I could be wrong about this. I think they divorced in their late 70s. Mm. Very, very late. Right. Mm. And I asked my father about it. I was like, isn't that sad that they got divorced so late? He goes, no, I'm just sad they spent 30 or 40 years unhappy together. Because from even as a kid, he knew they weren't that happy together. I think there was one moment that happened, you know, where they just, the marriage never recovered. They never really talked about it. They don't have the same, like, share, you know, be vulnerable. Like that didn't exist back then. Like they weren't having discussions about it or anything, but he said it was like, I wish they had just gotten divorced sooner. Because in their late 70s, like they were done with it. They'd been done with each other for a long time. And it sucks when you're kind of trapped and you feel like you have no options to go anywhere. You know, so you're right. There's probably a lot of marriages. I have one example of that in my own life where it wasn't super sweet and great. You know, wasn't a perfect marriage because even at the end, they're like in their late 70s. They only have so many years left, and they still decided to get divorced.
Yeah, yeah, and it's what's interesting. You know, I broke up with my long-term partner. I was with her for 12 years, and I split up with her 2 years ago almost. But what's so interesting, when I talk to women now, they'll, you know, what do you do for work comes up, you know, dating, relationship coaching. And what they'll often say is, wow, isn't that ironic? You're single, but you're a dating relationship coach, right?
Yeah, you
and
get
like,
that.
Your relationship
Dude, my name
failed,
is a single guy.
Right? It's like your relationship failed. Isn't that ironic? And I'm like, relationship, like what would be a fail is if we stuck together, even though it wasn't working.
Yes. Right?
That's the fail. The fail is if we were so poor at communicating that there was a ton of bad blood and we fucking hated each other and all I wanted to do with half my time was bitch talk about her, right? That would be the fail, right?
The Amber Heard Johnny Depp situation,
yeah,
that would be a fail.
That's a fail. That's a poor relationship.
That's a loss. We'll chalk that one up to like, hey, you took an L on this one.
Absolutely, right? But to have a breakup where there's still tons of mutual love and respect, like there's we care about each other, like we can talk through stuff and it's all good. That's the win because we're breaking up for the right reasons. We weren't poor at communicating. You know what I mean? That people grow apart. And it's so funny because that's how it's supposed to work. When you both know you've got options, you're both not dependent on each other. You'd like to stay together, but you don't need each other, you know, or your life falls apart. And that's how it's supposed to be, I think. And you're right. I think a lot of people stick together because they're scared of not finding anyone else. And the world is full of amazing people. Like the world is really full of, amazing women.
What is ironic, and I will comment on. So if you look at sci-fi movies, I've seen this consistently. Blade Runner. What's another futuristic movie that I can think of? Like if you look in the future, people, it looks like people are lonelier. And I think with technology, although it brings us closer together, a lot of people are feeling lonelier. And so they feel like the future is bleak because they themselves feel lonely currently. And they don't see a method for feeling not lonely in the future. And ironically, what I do as a dating coach is a lot of times I'm just getting them to make some friends, you know, to meet some people in general, to kind of solve this problem. And so I think that might be playing into the way people like think negatively about the future, but you know, it is within your control to change. Mm-hmm. You know, I help people change their lives around their social circle. And as a result, when they change their social circle, their dating life changes mm-hmm. immensely.
Right? Well, that is one of the things that I've seen change. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up anyway, so you kind of did, mm-hmm. which is I'm finding with my clients more than ever, I'm dealing with clients who have a very unhealthy social life. So an underperforming social life. So mm-hmm. they don't have that. One of the important, I mean, so we're meant to be social, right? So one of the biggest ways to make someone depressed is to take away their social network completely exactly. when we fall into depression, but we need it. And actually, I read a study recently that feeling lonely, so it doesn't matter if you're surrounded by people, feeling lonely is worse for our health than smoking, for our physical, for our heart health and everything else. Because in the wild, being lonely meant you were vulnerable to predation, right? Mm-hmm. You were vulnerable to attack. Mm-hmm. So that's the mm-hmm. thing you need to change. And I'm finding that a lot more and more men are struggling to have good social networks of friends around them. And I'm coming across it right. so much more than I ever did. I don't know if you're finding that has increased, but yeah.
This topic actually hits really close to home. So I'll tell more stories about myself. I've been telling stories about other people around me. This is a story that didn't happen to me necessarily, mm-hmm. but it is wicked intense and actually kind of fueled my motivation to do what I do. Mm. So there was a school shooter a long time ago. This is going to get a little heavy, but his name was Elliot Rogers. Did you hear about this story?
Is this the incel guy?
Yes, this is the incel guy. Yeah. I went to that school and I actually know two of the girls he killed.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I remember hearing the news and this is really messed up, but like I understood why he did what he did. Not because I thought it was good that he, like, obviously a horrible thing. Like, I knew these girls, they were very nice girls. Mm. It was so horrible what happened to him. I just was like a mixture of emotions when it happened, but it was loneliness. He felt super lonely. And then you find out that his parents were like in Hollywood and stuff like that. And so he's surrounded by just all this, status, and Santa Barbara's a very big party school, and he felt like he wasn't a part of that, even though he wanted to be a part of that. So he just felt so cripplingly lonely, feeling like no one liked him. And then he lashed out, doing the only thing that he felt he could do to feel important. And when I heard that story, I was so emotionally hurt by it, by knowing people who had been actually, their lives got ended because of this guy's loneliness. It motivated me more to kind of I solve it for as many people as I could. You know, you can't fix everybody. There's some people that you're never going to touch. But it motivated me because I felt like, this is maybe, I might be sounding arrogant to say this, but I felt like if I had a good amount of time with this guy, I probably could have talked him out of it. I probably could have, like, you know, given him at least a pathway where violence wasn't the answer. Mm. And it's weird when people talk about this, because in the news, when you heard about this story, nobody had compassion for the guy, and rightfully so. Like, he doesn't deserve any compassion whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But I think that could have actually prevented it from happening in the first place. The way everybody reacted was like, men need to learn how to respect women. And it was like kind of it was bashing men. And it was like, hey, dude, more negativity is not the answer. Like, I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds like ridiculous, but that was a cry for help. That was the only way he felt that he was going to be heard. And he did the wrong thing doing it, hurting people that I knew and cared about. But that was his reaction to it. And I believe that the solution was to kind of spread positivity about that and see that there is a way for you to stop feeling lonely anymore.
Yeah, it's a thing that my personal crusade, like my personal passion in the work that I do, has shifted to definitely do a lot more than just look at dating, because this gets into it where we have a habit of demonizing people who do bad or do things that hurt us or the people we care about. Mm-hmm. And where I think that's incredibly dangerous, and I'll use the manosphere as a good example, incel, MGTOW, red pill, right? In that, I don't agree with most of their beliefs.
Yeah.
But the fact that they exist and that they're a growing group deserves a hell of a lot of compassion, because these groups haven't formed out of a black hole. They haven't formed with a bunch of guys who are assholes, narcissists who want to hurt women. They've formed as a result of pain. And you kind of hit on that, right? There is a huge amount of pain, and that's growing, like, for men. More and more men are feeling left out.
Yes.
And that's why Jordan Peterson and all these people, they get this big following because they want compassion. They didn't deserve compassion, like we all do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I was watching an interesting documentary yesterday, and this guy was, he started off as a child therapist for abused children of abuse. And he said when he did that work, everybody cared about those kids. Right? Everyone is like, oh, that must be so hard. Those poor children, they don't deserve it, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, his life changed over the years, and he ended up focusing on addiction, was his specialty, right? And he noticed no one really cared about the subjects of his research anymore, right? And he said, they're the same cohort. They're just older, right? He said, those cool kids became those adult self-addicts. So to rewind, that's a big thing. Like, we need to be giving compassion, and the compassion has to go both ways. So I'll say it this way. These men need compassion, right? Yeah. Sometimes, some of them are totally harmless, right? They're trying to find their own way. Some of them have do things or behave in ways that hurt others, right? Like, this guy's a really extreme example, the school shooting, obviously. Most of them aren't doing anything like that. But there's pain being dealt out. And the problem is that won't change unless they get compassion, because that's the only way to healing. So when you say, in my head, what I'm hearing when you say you could have probably talked him off the edge, is I think because you feel for him, like you can generally get where he's at without having to make him a monster in your head. You generally get where he's at, and that understanding would give you the ability to help him. Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing, and I'm guessing that's what you're thinking.
Yeah. Because, dude, like, the resources, it's not like the school doesn't have resources for victims of abuse, but it's all for women who have suffered some form of sexual assault. It's all for people who are, like, depressed about school or, like, they're overwhelmed with their academics or something like that. There's nothing for what he was going through. Like, people like me and you, we're the only people who have jobs that are helping this guy out because he can't go to his he can't go to his whatever you call them, the counselors at the college and be like, hey, listen, no girls want to sleep with me. And on top of that, nobody likes me. Like, what do I do? How do I get liked? She'll be like, well, why don't you see a therapist? And, you know, and maybe a therapist would help. But, like, dude, he just needs a way to see that he can make friends and get girls to like him. And if you show him that and you're like, hey, this is the pathway, it's not picking up a gun, it's not doing these crazy things that you're about to do, it's doing something good, then he probably would have done it. Or I have no idea. I can't say that. But, like, I think there's a higher chance they would have done it. I can't speak for the crazy people. But, that's you're absolutely right. Is these people need compassion, and they're not getting it, especially when they look for it online with the news media.
But there's a flip side to that. Because this is another problem that's growing. I see this general problem, this lack of compassion is growing. But the flip side also exists. So there is a distinct lack of compassion by men who have been hurt by women towards women. And it's forming what I see, and this is kind of where my passion's going, I'm seeing a cycle brewing where, you know, when I seek out, not just in podcasts, in my general life, I seek out interesting people to have a conversation with, right? And I've genuinely, like, sought out women who very much strongly identify as feminists to actually talk through and have some interesting conversations. And, and you know, obviously that's a spectrum as well. Of how those conversations go. But there is like a growing number of women who are seeing men as the enemy, and men see that. We're already consciously aware of that. But there's also, the problem is that they're being triggered by the men who see women as the enemy and treat them as such and behave as such, who are then who are being triggered by the women who see them as the enemy, who are triggered by the men who see them. And I'm seeing this problem arise. Like, there is a bigger and bigger distinction in seeing each other as the enemy because there's no compassion.
Right.
There's a big lack of, it's like, I've been hurt by women and I've been through this. Like, when I was, I got into a lot of the stuff because when I was with my high school sweetheart from like 16 to 19, 20, and she hurt me badly, right? And initially I was like, fucking women, no, can't trust them. I gave her everything and she treated me like this. This is what women are like, fuck it. And that's what originally got me into pickup stuff. And I was angry at women. Like, well, fuck it. If they're going to do this, then I'm just going to have my way and who cares what they feel, right? That's the war path I was on. So I can directly relate. Yeah. If Red Pill had existed, I promise you I would have been part of the community then, right?
How old is Red Pill? Because I was reading about it in college, like 2013.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it was very small back then. It was like a subreddit, and that was
sure.
It.
But what, you got to remember, I was 20 in 2003.
You're a bit older.
You're
than
missing
me.
This fact.
You're a bit older than me. Yeah, I guess it wasn't back then.
Not that I know of, but yeah, I mean, I would have been a member of it. You know, mm-hmm. And I was lucky. I found men's work and the compassion of other men to steer me in the right direction. But most men don't get that. They right, don't find that right. at that point.
You just find the pickup artist stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And pickup artist stuff can be good. It depends on, you know, where you go with that word. And am I a pickup artist?
If you use it for good.
Word I use, but yeah, exactly. but yeah, and I see that as a change. I see that there's more distrust. And this is the thing I want to bring up because mm-hmm. I'll tell you my personal story. You know, I'm in my late 30s. Dating again. Mm-hmm. Sure, I was in an open relationship with my ex, but being in an open relationship is still different to being totally single in the way you interact
absolutely.
With people.
Absolutely.
One of the things that's different is, I think, as well, the age bracket that I'm looking at, because if mm-hmm. I'm just looking for sex, I'll go for, you know, mid-30s, mid-20s, you know, around there, you know, fuck it, why not? Yeah. But if I'm looking for a relationship, I actually want her a little close to my age. You know, I want her over 30.
Right. Yeah, you want some of the challenges.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Someone who's close to my level in life and thinking mm-hmm. and stuff and maturity. And so anyway, one thing I've noticed that's really hit me, slapped me in the face, is how much less fun I'm having dating these women.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going on these dates and it's like what I'm meeting with is women who are not 100%, a little bit cagey. And they're like,
wait, what does cagey mean?
Cagey means kind of like distrustful, kind of like, you're a guy. Can I trust you?
Okay,
I don't know what this is going to be. A little bit jaded.
This is with the mid-20s.
No, I'm talking about post-30.
Oh, yeah. Well, they already have that baggage and they've already been hurt.
Yeah. Okay, and it's they're trying to go through a checklist. You know, this whole, do you match these things that I want in a partner? And it's like, this is no fun. This isn't how I want to date. Like, it's supposed, if the first date isn't fun, I can't expect much else to be fun. And I suspect that online dating has made that worse.
Yeah. And so that's why I have plenty of female friends that are around this age. Mm. They're all bitter and angry. Mm. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
When I go out about dating around my age, I typically like to do fun things and then kind of hang out first.
Mm. Yep.
And then go for the date later. That tends to work a lot better. If you just go for the date first, you know, they come in with all their baggage and all of their, like, God, you get that person. So what are you looking for? Oh, really? Why do you want that?
Yeah.
No, you're just like, okay.
I went on a date with this woman.
Can we chill
once?
Out and have fun?
And like 2 minutes in, no, I got to be kind. It was like 10 minutes in. She's like, all right, so you got to understand, right? She's like, okay, so I have a kid, right? You didn't know that's not my profile, but you need to know that. And, you know, I'm still friends with my ex because we're going to look after the kids together. That's a good family unit. Not looking for a baby daddy, right? Just want someone in my life who's still nice to my kids. And she's telling this whole thing like really, really intensely over the top. And it's like,
yeah.
And then she's like, okay, you okay with that? Or should we just move on? It's like, wow, that is a lot to dump on a dude after 10 minutes.
That's a lot to dump on a dude. Look, man, I mean, most of those things, like, you know, you can figure it out. The talking to the ex part, we got to figure out what's going on there. But like, if it's not, you know, if he's not a threat or whatever, it's not a big deal. Mm. It's like the way that she's coming about
that,
this.
That's
like,
the thing. It's the intensity.
Like, this is an interrogation. Yeah. And so for women like that, I've noticed there are some women that do that. Yeah, you're right. And they're like, when they get to their 30s, that's when that starts to come out. The claws start to come out, as I like to say. I think if you calm and you're listening to them, and then after like a certain amount of time, they just realize that like, okay, this isn't a big deal. I can, you know, have a good time with this guy and it's going to be okay. I think once that happens, like you get past that, it becomes a lot more fun. Mm. And then you can start to enjoy yourself. But to get to that point first, you do have to deal with a little bit of spite.
Yeah.
They might actually spit at you, but like you have to deal with a little bit of spite to get to there. And then with the women who haven't been through that, who are kind of like, you know, going around life, like still in their early 20s or mid 20s, and guys are still buying them drinks and they haven't been hurt real bad yet.
Yeah.
You're dealing with that, but it's, I find it to be a little less interesting than some of the women who have had baggage. I know it sounds crazy, but I like to hear about their stories sometimes. Mm. And when I come in there without judging them, and they share them and they have this like open space where they can just be themselves. And like, I've heard it all, man. And like, I know you can work with anything. So, it's not a, it, and when they see it's not a big deal for me, I think they start to calm down after a little bit. But yeah, you're right. At the beginning point, you're like, whoa, especially if it's from a dating app too, where they don't actually know you and they haven't had time to like relax with you yet. They assume that you're going to dump them for whatever reason in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I think I tend to be very intolerant of, or very touchy on the trigger when it comes to if I'm going to be dating, whether she's not very emotionally self-aware, or not, she hasn't really worked on her shit. Because I've worked damn, I'm not trying to say I don't have baggage. Everyone's got baggage, but I've worked so damn hard on myself. You know what I mean? And, and when that's the first thing I come against and I feel that distrust, I'm like, oh, if I'm not trusting women, I shouldn't be dating. You know what I mean? Like if I'm going to feel cagey. And so I guess that's what it triggers for me. Like, it's interesting, like when you say, like, just, you know, sit back and let it pass. And part of me goes, that's good advice. And part of me is like, yeah, but nah, it's still a really good red flag sitting there. You know what I mean? Like,
It is. You're right. Maybe it's because I'm not thinking about trying to find the one right now.
I mean, that's true. That's true.
You know, I'm happy where I am. Like, I don't honestly, like, I got a girlfriend and she's great, but she does have moments where I'm like, all right, if she worked on herself, she would handle this better.
Yeah.
But it's tough because we're dating coaches, dude. Like, this is what our job is to work on ourselves and help other people work on themselves. And like, you know, rather than, you know, you this when you walk up and talk to a girl, if she says something that's like a shit test or whatever, and you get upset by it and you let it throw you off your game, that's done.
Yeah.
She ain't talking to you anymore.
Yeah.
But if you learn how to handle it and then she's like, huh, this guy can handle my shit, you know?
Yeah.
And then she starts to feel really attracted to you. So we've already worked on that stuff, not just for the opening or for the approach, but for the whole thing in general. And then when other people don't have that, we're like, oh, can you work on yourself, please? Because this relationship would go so much better if you did.
Yeah.
But you can't expect everybody to do that because like it's a lot of work, honestly, you know? It's a lot of work, especially if you have like bad things that have happened to you, you know?
Yeah, it is. Well, life's never easy for any of us. But it is interesting. I mean, it's true. Guys miss that women actually end up suffering with online dating, with dating in general, like just as much as men.
Their suffering is different though.
It's different, it's like, right. It happens kind of in different points in different ways for different reasons. And so it's easy to overlook. But it is so funny because like if I talk to the average guy on the street, he's like, of course women have it better in dating. And if I talk to the average woman on the street, the woman's like, of course men have it better in dating. It's like,
they really do say that.
They do. They're really so certain.
Because it's funny because women will log on to a dating. I think you were the one who first told me. It might have been you were the first one who told me. I don't remember, but it's so true. They'll log on to the dating app for like 2 weeks. They'll pick one guy who sucks. They'll go out on a date with him. Put all their hopes and dreams in him, and then when it doesn't work out, they get frustrated.
Yeah,
and then they quit the app and they're like, "Men suck." They stop dating.
Yeah.
But you know what I have found? The ones that are really positive. I had a female friend who was just going through it. She's like, "This year, I'm going to find the one. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to do it." And she went on so many dates. She went on so many different things with guys, and like guys would be non-committal or whatever, or they would start to drift away when she was clearly looking for more. And she was even the one who was like, hey, you know, I felt you getting a little distant. Is there anything I did wrong? Or like, is there anything I can do better? She was literally sending messages like that, messages that people would be like, oh my God, that's so needy. In my opinion, I think it was great for her to do that because she knows what she wants and she's going after it. Well, 8 months in, what happened? She found a guy who was nuts about her. They're engaged. And it was because she didn't let that one minor setback get to her. She knew it was a set, not even a setback, but just you could even think about it as a stepping stone onto the pathway of trying to find that person. But the person that gets frustrated, they're like, oh, everyone's like this, dating's not worth it, they judge themselves too much, you know. That's the kind of person that just grows more and more bitter and bitter as time goes on.
Yeah it is. And I think I don't know if this is true for men. The feeling that I have for women, what's happening is I think what happens is you start not to trust your gut, or they feel like they can't trust their gut, or more. I think more than that is what happens is because I work with some women too, and one of the big difficulties women have in dating in general is they tend to date the same kind of guy over and over again, right?
Yeah.
Different name, same asshole, and so that's a pattern that they have because there's a pattern of attraction, and if that's met, Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to mean that he's the Chad. I've seen it with all different kinds, right? But yeah. It's just
some of them you'll look at and you'll be like, really?
Yeah.
This is your type?
Yeah.
Good God. I've seen your problem already.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, I have those moments. But I don't use those words, but yeah.
You don't, you don't say that to the client.
Yeah. But then what happens, see, is that they don't trust their gut. So their gut's screaming out, hey, this is a bad idea. But then, you know, it's like, oh, but he's got these things that I like. And it's that, I think it's tied to women being taught to be too nice. Right? Uh-huh. Women are taught not to be confrontational more than men are when they're younger. Right. It's part of a societal. And I think that leads to it because I think then what happens is women are pushed not to trust their gut so much with that stuff. But anyway, and I think that's what happens. And so they become, because they don't know, they struggle to know the difference between who's going to be a dick on online dating and who's going to be a decent human being. And guys often pretend like, oh, she could just pick the more average looking guy. But no, average looking guys can be just as much a dick as a good looking guy. Like, there's not a lot of, like, useful reference thinking in that line of thought.
And it's funny, too, because that average-looking guy, a lot of times he's doing it out of insecurity, but he does things that are sometimes worse than the guy who's not insecure but is actually an asshole.
Yeah.
The insecure guy will,
asshole.
They'll have, like, a great moment, and they'll sabotage it, and, like, you're like, you really did that, dude?
Mm.
Like, do you have any idea how that's going to make her feel?
Yeah.
And then in his mind, he just has, like... he couldn't even conceive of being able to hurt this person.
Yeah.
But he did.
Yeah, it's actually, that happens a lot. Like, you know the nice guy paradigm, right? Like, the nice guy. And I mean, that happens a lot. A lot of guys, one thing I try to tell a lot of guys is, if you think you're just a good person and other guys, there's a lot of assholes out there, you're missing the point. Like, everyone could be an asshole, and that's the thing. Like, everyone has this asshole side to us, and it's how we manage that actually matters, right? Like, everyone's got it. If you think you're not an asshole, you're missing the point. You don't have to act like one, right? But there are times when you want to, right? And then, you know, like, we all have it.
Dude, I have a story. I had a client recently. Yeah. This guy, we were having a lot of trouble with him because he's going in all different places. Again, this is another guy who was really, really, really short, worried about his looks, and you know, he couldn't get the woman who was into it. Anyway, by the end of my program, he's getting attraction from a variety of different women. And one of them, he had gone on a few dates with, he eventually slept with her. And then as soon as he slept with her, he called me up and he was like, or he didn't call me, he texted me. He's like, yeah, I think I'm going to dump her. And I'm like, you spent all this time trying to get in her pants. And then now, like, the second you sleep with her, you're going to dump her. And then you're complaining about all these, like, other guys who are doing the same thing. And you finally have the power and you do it too. Come on, man. Come on, man. Like, treat her a little better.
Oh, how it turns table. But it's true. It's true. A lot of things guys complain about women doing, I've caught myself doing on online dating.
Right.
Because once you've got the options and the things, like, you end up behaving the same way. It's not a gendered problem. It's just a results problem. What else have you seen?
If you were in the same position, you'd do it.
Exactly, yeah. Is there anything else that you've seen change or, I don't know, I guess shift?
Yeah, we'll talk about some things that have gone for the better, in my opinion. I think people are communicating more. I think people have more access to information to be able to know what to do to be a good partner. The power is there. You know, the fact that we know about, in terms of game, the system for... being able to initiate a relationship, walk up, talk to her, approach her, build attraction, build a certain level of trust and comfort with them, being able to physically escalate in a way that turns them on, but the same way makes them feel safe. Information is there. People can get it down. There's guys out there, you know, on the regular who can make any girl squirt, you know, me included. It's like that information like that for incredible pleasure and incredible relationships exists. It's just whether you choose to take advantage of it that really matters. And I think there's a lot of people out there that, maybe have a resistance towards that because they think it's not useful. Or I get people who are like, oh, you're a dating coach. Like, why would anybody pay for that? I'm like, how much are you going to pay for your next divorce? You know, how much time have you spent thinking about a girl when you could actually be making improvements on that and making yourself better in the process? Like, you're going to pay. Just depends how you choose to pay. You know? So I think that's a positive, is I've noticed a lot of people that are noticing that are working, even people who don't necessarily pay for a dating coach, they're still working on themselves in a way where they can be better. Now, I think this could be conceived as a bad thing, but also a good thing in some ways, where men are becoming more in touch with their emotions, they're being more vulnerable, they're being encouraged by mainstream media to do that. I think that's great. But also, too, they need to remember how to be assertive and do the attractive and sometimes masculine things that women are attracted to, you know? Mm. Not being a pushover, not just being a nice guy. Being open with your feelings is good, but you have to be someone that she respects and be someone that she feels safe around. Mm. And just being nice to everybody actually doesn't make people feel... That's not a recipe for making people feel safe. Yes, they'll think you're nice and kind, but it's not a recipe for getting people to feel safe because they think somebody might be able to take advantage of you or them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Actually, it's a good question of what's improved for the better. Because, you know, the other thing that I think is improved for the better is I honestly see the quality of dating coaching advice has gone up dramatically since, like, when I got...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in the early 2000s. Like, the whole pickup artistry kind of manipulation shit, that's really died. I don't know of any... or many coaches who have survived who are still teaching that stuff, like that's on the decrease dramatically. Right. I'm seeing far better. If I look at also Reddit groups, like not forget coaches. If I look at like r/seduction, right? Is a big one.
Yeah.
Now, obviously there's always a mix of advice, but on the whole, the average voice that pervades is actually quite decent these days.
Right.
You know, it's really sensible. It's really emotionally healthy. It's really, I mean, what I grew up with around dating advice, there was still good stuff, but man, there was a lot of manipulative, avoidant attachment style based dating advice. And it was far more Wild West. And now it's much more emotionally healthy. Like I think if a lot of people revisited the dating coaching material that's out there and the general knowledge base and the way people think, It's so much better than it was. It's so much less toxic.
So much less toxic, and so much also too, like if you follow the advice, the pathway to live a healthy life is, for some people it's not there, but for a lot of dating coaches it is. Mm. In the typical pickup advice, which I followed, I went out there, slept with a bunch of women, you know, had some fun doing it. But at the same time, after sleeping with hundreds of women, I looked back on that and I was like, you know what, did this actually improve my life? And I feel like it did with some ways. Like I felt like more important in some ways, but I also felt worse in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I actually started adjusting those things that I felt truly desired. And before then, it was just like, try and fail. And then now I feel legitimately like a desirable guy. Don't have sex with as many random people anymore, which, you know, might be a shame to say.
But that's
people,
weird though, isn't it? Like I've noticed that too. Like the better I felt about myself, the fewer women I slept with, but I wasn't trying to sleep with, you know what I mean? It was my choice. It wasn't like imposed upon me, but that shifted. But it's an interesting one. Sorry, go on. It's just a...
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I'm actually, I was looking down because I was, sometimes I'll do that while I listen.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, man, I think that it's totally fine if you want to go out and do that. And there's still a part of me that does that. I mean, I have a girlfriend right now, which I'm very happy with and satisfied with that. But it's like when you go
you're
out
a terrible
and you do
single
that,
guy.
Yeah, no, it's very off brand.
Sorry,
very, very off brand for me to have a girlfriend. No, like when I came up with the name The Single Guy, it's funny. People asked me about that. And I was like, yeah, the single guy was a catchy name, but I was more thinking about the people that were watching my channel. Like the single guy, if you're the single guy, you're the one who's watching the channel, right? Or you're the one who's paying attention to my Instagram. It's the brand. The brand doesn't always necessarily represent me, but yeah, I always get that comment. So when you're going out and you're doing these things, if you feel good about yourself, then you can say, hey, listen, if I bring this girl home and just have sex with her one time, like usually if you have sex with somebody that's good, like you want to sleep with them again. You're like, you don't want to like, just let that go and like go on to the next one if it was really good, especially. But if you come from a healthy place, you're more inclined to do that. But if you're not, then you're more into like the use and discard kind of thing.
The validation, like the sex is just a validation. Yeah, once you get it, they serve no purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that. And made for some funny stories though. I'll tell you that.
Yes.
Dude, the things I did in order to get laid back in the day were hilarious. Oh my God. The late nights I stayed up. I'm in my 30s now, so like, oh God, getting me to stay up past. I was in Colombia recently and we did this like huge program where we had a bunch of, and I was staying up till like 4 a.m. with some of these guys, dead sober.
Love to coach in Colombia. God, that'd be a blast. I did so it in Thailand fun. A few times, and that was good.
So, dude, check this out. We had like these giant like mansion parties, and we fill it up with like 40 girls for like 10 guys or 15 guys or something like that. So we get students in there that like couldn't, if you looked at them, you're like, okay, how is this guy going to get a girl? And, you know, with just that many women, they were getting so much female attention that they felt like the man for a week. Everybody afterwards was like so positive, so happy, whereas before it was like negative, like they don't like, oh, women, ugh. And then afterwards they're like, women, great, love them, you know, they had been getting success with them, they had been getting desire, and sometimes it wasn't even, I mean, most of the guys who went on the trip got laid, but like some even who didn't still felt like it was only like one or two guys, they still felt like, dude, this is the greatest I've ever felt in my life. Like, I haven't felt this way because some of the guys were a little older. Most of the guys were around our age, but like one of the guys was like, I haven't felt this good in 40 years.
Wow.
You know, just from feeling desirable
to
women, you know, you felt that. And it's possible, you know, you can definitely make that happen for yourself. But we kind of did the work for him in Colombia. He has to do that work in the States too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which might be a little bit harder for him, but he can do it. It's definitely possible.
Yeah. One other thing, just quickly, that I've found has improved post-COVID. Fewer random guys are approaching in bars than they used to.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a worldwide thing, but I've noticed that here. As a result, I found women are now more responsive, at least for the time being, to being approached. Mm-hmm. I found guys seem to be getting rejected less on approach. Like, they have to do a less ideal job for women to at least be receptive than used to be the case.
I mean, put her in a day party and have like you be the 20th drunk guy who's like, hey, what are you drinking? You know, like then she'll be annoyed by then. But for the moment, we're good. It hasn't happened there yet. You know what I teach guys to do now that's I've taught this before, but I'm more emphasizing it. I'm like, hey, if you were gonna go out to the bar and just be helpful to everybody, how would you help them? And that's the way you're going to open from now on. And so you get guys who are like checking up on people. Hey, do you need anything? You need a drink or something like that? And then he's just like super helpful, makes a lot of friends. And then women in the bar, what they do instead of, because women will observe what's going on. They're very observant. But they're not looking at the hot guys that are there. Some of them might, but most of them are looking to see what other people are looking at. And if you're that really helpful guy, people are going to be looking at you and she's going to see that you're like a respected member of the group. You're like a really helpful dude. So she assumes you're trustworthy. She assumes you're a well-liked person. And on top of that, you seem confident because you're out there interacting with a variety of different people. You're showing all of the attractive traits before she even talks to you. And so at that point, once you check in on her, say hi, or maybe she starts hanging out nearby you, a lot of the work's already done. So for instance, when I was in Colombia, that's exactly what I was doing. I was coaching guys, wasn't really trying to pick up any girls, but I was being helpful and I was like introducing them to people. I was saying, hey, be my friend. Yeah. You know, he likes this, you like that. And she sees me being really helpful. So as an end result, like tons of these women were like following me around the whole time. And I was like trying to escape, trying to get them to talk to my clients. But if you just go out there trying to be helpful to people rather than trying to pick somebody up, I find you can have a lot, you know, you might not, for the guy that's going strictly pickup, maybe you don't sleep with them as quickly, but I honestly think you'll do a lot better overall in almost every category.
That's such an interesting angle. I mean, it makes sense. Like I think that's kind of cool. I'd love to see that in action.
It's kind of like you be the mayor of the room, basically. Like you're checking in on people, and that way you don't seem like this just random dude who's like taking value from every interaction you go in, which people, nobody likes that, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. So what I still do, like get guys to do is, so when I was learning, I was like at a group of guys and we were having fun first and meeting women second. We would be bouncing around the bar, talking to random people, not just girls, like saying funny things, doing random stuff, having, and that's what we were doing. And women were seeing that, right? Like, what are they, you know what I mean? It's like people are laughing with us and we, you know, and we would have these, it was stupid, but we'd have moments where women were waiting their turn to come and talk to us and find out what was going on. It was such a weird thing, but that's the thing. Like, and that was how I think in my real heyday, that was my strat. It wasn't It wasn't, I mean, I had it where I go out and I'm going to pick up tonight. I've done that and it works. Don't get me wrong. But it was a lot less fun than when I was with just a small group and it was literally just having fun, being super, like we do dumb shit. Yeah. Like we, you know, like like I remember one like time, like I'd like write in a piece of paper, like, hey, I'm Damien, what's your name? ? And I'd give her the piece of paper and a pen and she'd go to talk to him and like, make her write it down, you know, random shit like that. Or, you know, like just, yeah, we do lots of little silly fun stuff like that.
Yeah. But that's also, you are going out there being helpful to people because you're providing the number one currency that people are looking for.
That fun, was the connection. Right? Exactly. I'm adding to their night. I'm not trying to just pull sex out of them. I'm just, and I'm not trying to pull anything out of them. That's the thing, right? And I think that's a big thing. A lot of guys are going in there and they're not bringing value. They're just trying to pull value out. If that makes sense. Like, oh, I just need to say the right things to pull sex out of her. But, you know, it sounds silly. That's really the, but actually that's the thing with being helpful or like for me having fun, that's exactly it. You're just bringing value without needing anything in return. And that's attractive. That's
absolutely. Yeah, man. You have to nail on the head. I remember there's one time I was out in Vietnam and this is like when I was 25, a long time ago. And when I saw this to its like its highest extent, there was a girl who I had been looking at even before anything had happened. She was the prettiest girl that I had seen the entire trip. Gorgeous, blonde German girl. And at the time I was hanging out with like three guys. We were motorbiking all through the country together. And when that night we just decided to have, it was like our last night together. We just had like the best time ever. Like we were on the dance floor, like flexing, like looking ridiculous, like doing the most ridiculous dance moves. And at first everybody at the hostel / bar we were at, were looking at us like, ugh, those guys are, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And then we just kept up. We didn't care what anybody thought. And slowly but surely people started to creep into the dance floor. And then everybody was either on the dance floor or they were looking in wishing they had the courage or the, just the not care attitude to go in there and let loose. And she was one of those girls. And so after we did this the whole night, I don't even think we talked that much. I think we talked like twice, very short. And it was just her being honestly rude to me. But she saw me from afar having such a good time that when we finally talked at the end of the night, she was pretty much ready to go home or back to the hostel with me. And that's exactly what happened. And then, you know, sure enough, we had a good time there and she ended up being kind of mean-spirited. We never, she hit me up again after that and we hung out a little bit, but it was even that she saw the amount of fun and I didn't even have to talk that much. And that was the first time where I was like, okay, exactly what you're saying. Fun is where it's at. And it's being able to engineer that fun on a regular basis when you go out, that I think that's part of a big part of game for sure.
Night times, daytimes. I guess that's true. Yeah, you're right.
it would be in a day. It would have to be in like a day party situation. Or like where they're having a lot of fun. I guess if there's not a lot of like partying, then you do it, but energy's lower.
Awesome, Lloyd.
Are we out of time?
We can keep going. If there's more you want to talk about, I'm happy to keep going, man. Like,
I want to talk about one more thing. So we've been talking about, we shifted from bringing value to like the problems of the modern dating world. I think let's talk about one other positive thing with the modern dating world. You know, I think we've complained about the amount of choice. Everybody has so much choice that it's bad, but I think the choice is good. You know, whatever kind of woman you're looking for, you can go out and get. It gets possible. Just map it out. Like, oh, do I want someone who's really in shape? Okay, well, then we can come up with a plan to get that person. You know, start signing up for those classes. Start attending those group events. Mold yourself into the kind of person that they would be, that they would want to get with. And people didn't have that much selection back then. You know, they had their neighbor. They had the person their mom knew. They had a classmate. They had someone they worked with, you know, and that was kind of it. It was usually, I think I looked at some stats of the 70s and it was like the percentage of people that married someone that their family knew or their neighbor was like more than 50%. It was really, really high. And now we have an incredible selection of the amount of people that we can choose from. We can get our ideal dream partner. It's possible. It just takes some work. Right.
Well, actually, one of the things I found in that note, and I think that's an interesting thing for guys to understand, is that The paradox of choice makes life very difficult when it's not clear what you want, what you need, right? So the paradox of choice comes in when we're talking about shampoos. Because who the fuck really has a clear picture of what they really need in shampoo, right? And those who do don't suffer from the paradox of choice because they know exactly what they need and they know, and they look, not, that has exactly what I need, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually quite a critical one. When I talk to guys sometimes, I know it's a danger when you're like, hey, what do you really want in a woman? And it's like, I guess I just wanted to be fun and kind of cute and cool. Then you are gonna come up against that to some degree, you know, because not only do you not know what you want, you're not able to express to women clearly what you want. And when women know that you know what you want and it's clear, and you're not quite being this abrupt, but you're doing that same basic thing. Nah. Where's the ingredients that I need in the shampoo? Yeah, that's the one. But really, when you do that, women feel it because they know you're doing this, right?
And
I think that's actually. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but I actually think it's very powerful to be know what's going to make you walk away from a woman, right? And like be willing to actually walk away from hot women. Now, walk away from women who are attractive because they don't have the things you're looking for. Not only does that stop you having that pain, that paradox of choice, but women are going to respond far more positively to that.
Yeah, I will tell a little bit about this. There have been a few women who were tough to get for me. And when I mean get, I mean we got into a relationship or we dated seriously for a while. When I was younger, it meant slept with. That was get. now it gets a little bit longer term than that. But I knew what I wanted and I was just patient with it. And I broke every like dating or game rule in the book. I double texted, I triple texted, you know, they flaked on me. Like all of this stuff happened. This is actually, my ex that I'm talking about is now my girlfriend. I did everything wrong, but because I was patient, I knew what I wanted. No matter what the obstacles, I was able to make it through. And yeah, sure. There's some times where you got to give it up if there's no signs of attraction there. But a lot of times I'll talk to guys who are pursuing somebody and they're constantly doubting themselves and they're seeing everything as like a sign that she's not interested. And especially for women who are around the ages of the women that you're dating, I've noticed that even if you encounter some difficulty at the beginning, if you're patient and you know what you want and you stick with it, the percentage of it working out like is really high, like really high. Like, I'm not going to say you can get any girl that you want because there's circumstances that are going to prevent that from happening, but you would be surprised. You'd be surprised. Yeah. I'd say most of my clients, if I see something there and I ask them, I'm like, look, okay, you got to tell me now, like if you really want this person, we can get her. It's up to you how much you're willing to put in to make to make this happen. And if you are, we can. But I'm telling you, it's not going to be easy. And if they say yes, we go through it. And most of the time we're able to make it work, you know. But if they doubt themselves, and sometimes obviously I'll look at the situation, I'll be like, no, dude, give it up. Like,
you gotta let this person
go. Yeah, dude. This is getting, you know, not good. But a lot of times, if they're coming from a good spot, they're patient, they respect their boundaries. She's not telling him like an outright no, but she's just
It's not like please leave me alone, you creep. It's not like that.
Yeah, if you get a hard no,
yeah,
you're done. Leave. Yeah. And but I would say most of the time, women are if there's something there, like, you can make a lot of those situations work. And I think it comes down to those two things that you were saying. Knowing what you want and being a little bit more patient because guys want things to go a little faster than they normally do.
Yeah, that's interesting and alternative advice, and it's good. It's interesting because I'm not trying to say it's better. I tend to cut and walk very quickly, right? I'm like, you either really like me or you don't. And if I've got to be honest, it's partly a self-protection mechanism too, right? Like I'm not trying to hide from that fact. That's just why I've developed that strategy.
But you also probably know what you want too.
That too. But if I see a chick I really,
when was the last time you saw one that you really, really liked?
Yeah, that doesn't happen so often. I don't know what I do. I don't know what I do. Would I keep pursuing and work at it? I might. So hold that thought. I'm not sure what I do now. Because, you know, I'm pretty particular.
We'll check on you in 6 months and see if anyone's caught your eye yet.
But it's interesting. But I've got quite a few female friends, and almost all of them in the time that I've been living here, so knowing those girls for like at least 2 years, at least once has there been a guy who's been persistent. Like, not, we're not talking about asshole persistent.
Yes.
Right? We're not talking about just pretending to be their friend and hanging around in the background.
Yes.
No. I'm not talking about that. But a guy who's been like just kind of like gently around the background, like, you know, I still want to take you out. Like, I reckon we still, you know what I mean? It's like that kind of
You're going to have a great time with
persistent.
Me.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I've seen it happen with almost every girl. You know, that whole thing, attraction is not a choice. If it's a no, it's always a no. No, I've seen it happen too many times, even just in the last 2 years, where female friends have been like, you know what? All right, I'm going to give this guy a chance. I really appreciate their words is, I really appreciate that he like was persistent enough to really want to try to give this a chance.
Yeah.
Right. And I've heard that.
I said that all the time.
What was that?
I said, I see that all the time too.
Yeah. I'm certainly not bagging that strategy. Because I think that, that is one way to really stand out, but you got to do it right. Again, you can't do the needy trying to hold on, uncomfortable, making them uncomfortable. You know, but you're right. I think there are too many rules. I think a lot of rules in dating, like as you said, you broke a lot of the rules. And I say this too. I'm like, I break so many rules. even the guidelines I give to my clients, I break all the time because they're just that. They're just like these blanket. If you follow this, you're generally safe. Not this is the law. This is like fucking the axiom of like, you know, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. No, this is very changeable, and it's just a blanket rule to generally keep you safe. But everything can and probably should be broken. Like,
The truth is you can break the rules if you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny. You know, I've seen so many examples of that too. I mean, how many times have you talked to – normally if I talk to a couple, I usually ask how they met and you know, that sort of stuff, like, you know, so I can learn more. And – I'd say a good portion of the time I'll talk to the girl and she'd be like, you know, like I would never have dated this guy. I would never have gone out with this guy if he hadn't like, you know, pursued me for a really long time.
Yeah.
I remember I saw this guy, dude, this happened like about, 7 months ago on New Year's. I'm out having a great time. I've already found someone that I really like. And this, by the way, I was single during this time. And so I'm talking to this couple who, very gorgeous girl, very kind of average looking guy. And they've been dating. They've been dating for a long time. And I talked to the girl and I was like, hey, how'd you guys meet? Like all the stuff. And she was telling me, she goes, you know, he had been wanting to get with me for like 5 years ever since school. And he had just, you know, always been around. And then eventually, like, she'd gone through, like, a couple of guys that, you know, were kind of assholes and she didn't really like. And then he was still there. And then he got her. And this guy was not, like, I don't know if he would. Maybe he was friend-zoned. I'm not sure. But he never got, like, really frustrated. He never seemed super supplicating. He still had some good leadership qualities about him. And it eventually worked. It eventually worked. So good for him. You know, that's like, that's the romantic comedy that all women's go. I mean, all romantic comedies are like, she's not into him. She's never going to go out with him. And then finally, in the end, she agrees to it. She falls in love. There's some drama. Then they reconcile. That's every romantic comedy, right? So, you know, like there's some truth to it. I think they want that to happen. They want that guy to be there for him. But at the same time, they're going to be resistant to it.
Yeah, that's an interesting, honestly, I've never considered that approach.
It's so much work, dude.
It is work. Like, but then, especially when you know what you want and you know, because not every guy that I work with, and I'm sure it's the same for you, wants to just be shagging lots of girls, right?
Yeah.
We get all sorts. And for the guys who like just want to get really focused, it's an interesting approach.
Yeah.
It's an interesting approach for me too, you know, like, cause I'm so cut and dry. I'm like, if you're not into me straight away, fuck it. I'll find someone who is, you know, and that works for me,
too.
But. Sorry.
That happened with me and my girlfriend. I mean, she was into me straight away, so it wasn't like I had to dilly-dally or anything. You know, I don't know if I would have ever done like the approach that I was telling you about until recently. It does work. It's a strategy. It's not something, I mean, because sometimes it like, let's say you put all your eggs in one basket and then she meets another guy and then marries him and you just wasted all that time.
Yeah.
And you're crushed. Like it's.
Yeah. I don't think it's an eggs and all eggs in one basket idea, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you maybe entertain a variety of different options, sorry, computer just moved. If you entertain a variety of different options and you're like playfully persistent with each of them, it doesn't really take that much work, honestly. It's not like you're calling him every day. In fact, you shouldn't be. That would be creepy. But, you know, you're still there and you're doing the right things, which doesn't take that much work.
I had this coach.
Great strategy.
I had this coach who worked for me. Great guy. He actually died of cancer.
Oh, no.
7-8 years ago. He was such a great guy, Adam. And anyway, what he would do, it was great because he's such a low-key, unassuming dude too. But what he would do is he only did daytime. He would meet these girls and stuff. And obviously not all these numbers would go anywhere or even respond to him, right? And he had this list called his Sunday list. And every single girl who he hadn't met with yet would go on that list. And every Sunday, he'd message every single one of those girls. Right? It was just a thing he did on a Sunday. Like it'd take him like 20 minutes or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Something playful, something fun. Like it was never like needy, right? It was just something playful and fun. And he had a conversion rate of like 80% on that list. Like it might be a month or two down the line, but like, so like if they told him like, don't message anymore, he'd stop obviously. But like, otherwise it'd be a playful. And like, or if he didn't message them sometimes, some of them were like, wait, why didn't you message? Like they got used to his Sunday messages. And it's a similar, like different, but it's a similar kind of thing of like, you know, that playful persistence can actually pay off. I always loved that strategy. It was fun.
And it's because like women, when you're, so like for us, I think the masculine, do you know about masculine and feminine energies?
Yeah.
The masculine tends to be right more steady and consistent and forward moving. And the feminine tends to move in waves and it comes in cycles. So like sometimes you'll be talking to somebody and like you ask them out or like they're not playing ball. And it's like they're at the bottom, they're at a valley in their, in their kind of mood or whatever, their cycle. And you know, then now they're at a high point. They're ready to date. They feel good about themselves. They feel more confident. And then you text them then and they're at a high point. They go out with you and then they're open to starting a relationship now. But if you don't stay a little bit persistent and you try on the valley, then okay, you know, you might get a lot of people who would have potentially been interested in you if you've done that. And you have to really decide, okay, do I want to stick around with this person? Is this person worth it yet? But if it is, and it's really important to you and you really like her, like her, then I think it's actually a very valid strategy. I think it totally works, you know, cause I've coached a number of guys on it.
Interesting.
And I've done it myself. And had it work, but you gotta be into it. If you're just doing it just to do it, not a whole lot of success. So you have to actually be really into the girl to get it to work.
Yeah, it makes sense. That's interesting.
Cool. Hey, Damien. So I wanted to ask you, what plans do you have moving forward with School of Attraction?
Yeah, man. So I'm my passion is like, so I'm getting a lot more involved in men's work. So like a lot of the like shadow shame, sexuality, mom, dad shit that we have growing up. I'm starting to work a lot more heavily in that area. I'm still doing the dating coaching, but I feel like a lot of the new stuff that I'm producing now is that. So I run these retreats down in the mountains.
Oh, cool.
In Sydney. Nice. And it's amazing. We just get a group of guys and it's really intense. Like everyone's digging into some really intense shit and they come out of it like, and they're suddenly, it's like they don't want to take bullshit from anyone anymore. You know, they know who they are. They know what they want. They don't want to, you know, it's like, just like they come out by like, huh, like that's just shift has just happened, you know? And it's so nice to see. And there's, you know, there's tears and there's anger and there's all the emotions in the spectrum, but it's so powerful. And so, yeah, I'm really digging that work that I'm doing with the guys.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
That's
and great. I want to start not me facilitating, but I want to get combined with women so we can mix them as well and do a lot of this repair work between, you know, everyone has baggage with the opposite gender and starting to repair that with the opposite gender present after you've done some other work on yourself. And so that's where a lot of my stuff's going at the moment. It's good.
Yeah. That would be awesome. If you could do that, bringing people together. I really like that idea, especially with men and women. I've done a few, especially with the
Columbia thing that I did. I mean, that was more of
that sounds awesome.
I could feel like the man for a little bit, but yeah. You know, I did have some times where I sat down with each guy and, you know, we talked about some of those things, and it's definitely super important. You know, if you never do the internal work, no matter how good your outside results get, they're still going to come back to bite you in the ass. Mm.
Yeah. And that's why I think I was noticing that a number of guys were doing okay, but they're still held back by the other stuff that they hadn't dealt with. And so that was the original thing.
Yeah. What do you find is most holding the back? Do you think it's like childhood stuff or stuff maybe like experiences later with women?
Yeah. I mean, there's some big ones. There's the shame stuff is a big one. Mm-hmm. Shame around sex. I mean, that's not a surprise. But there's also shame for asking for what you want. So, you know, we know a lot of guys, there's a lot of, it's like, oh, like I shouldn't say that because that'll make it seem like I like her. It's like, yes, that's why you should say it, because it makes it seem like you like her, right?
That's the number one reason you should say it.
But there is a lot of that. There is a lot of shame in asking for what you want and knowing and making it clear and demanding and having boundaries and having a belief in yourself. There's a lot of dynamics that I see guys have around the mother and their father. And what tends to happen, I see, is that that creates this dynamic that you expect to have with females, with women, you know, that dynamic you have with your mom, and as well as the dynamic you see of your dad. And what we do is we often do one of two things. We mimic our dads or we try to do the opposite, and neither is usually good, right? Even if your dad was an asshole, the opposite of an asshole is not ideal. That's a lapdog. And so that's the difficulty that we have, is we tend to do one of those two things, and sussing that stuff out and detaching from that, I find is big.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a YouTuber. I'm not even paid to plug her, but I'm going to plug her anyway. Yeah. If you look her up, I think her YouTube channel is called My Non-Leather Life. You're going to get a chance. You should have her on your podcast. My Non-Leather Life.
Yeah.
What she has done that I think is amazing is I think she's into like BDSM stuff, but she talks a lot about the masculine polarity, like that men have. And what she does that's really good, she had one video where she was talking about how, you know, a guy approached her and, you know, she wasn't interested, and she turned him down. He looked kind of like crestfallen afterwards. And she was like, why is he so upset that I wasn't into him? It's not like, in her mind, it's not like, I still see him as a man. I still see him as an attractive guy, but whatever mood I'm in, whatever like my type is, it just wasn't doing it for me at that time. You know, maybe if we hung out longer, it would be okay. It's like, he took it so personal. Like, he is not a man. Like, he is not a sexual being. And when she said that, I was like, God, I wish more women would say that towards other guys. And I wish guys wouldn't interpret a rejection, because I don't like to use that word too much, as a sign that they're not a man, that they're not a sexual being, that they're not attractive, because that reinforces their shame to express it in a healthy way. And I'm not even plugging. If you have her on the program, she can probably talk more about it. It's the stuff that I talk about as well too, but it's the first time I ever heard a woman, YouTuber or dating coach, actually come out and say it.
Awesome.
Because they usually just encourage guys to be more vulnerable and talk about their feelings and stuff. She was like, actually, you know, if I turn you down, quote unquote, like, that you shouldn't interpret it as like a harsh, like, I don't like you, or a rejection.
Yeah.
I still recognize you as a sexual being and a guy. And I think if more men interpreted it as such, they would be a lot more confident. They'd have a lot more success and they wouldn't be so bitter.
Yeah. That's cool. Thanks for that. I'm always looking for new people to interview and interesting conversations. Yeah.
Yeah, man. She'd be good. So just look her up on YouTube, and you know, I'd love to come back on as well too.
Yeah.
But maybe I'd like to have you on my podcast as well too. We could talk about some good stuff.
I'd love to, dude. Absolutely. Thanks so much, Lloyd. For guys who want to find you, I know, like, I found you through YouTube, but I know you're elsewhere too. Where should guys try to find you and learn more?
So you can find me on my YouTube channel. My channel is called The Single Guy. It's one word. You can also find me on my Instagram, a.single.guy, and that's my handle on Instagram. If you want to reach me, the best way probably would be to send me an email at lloyd@thesingleguy.com. You can send me an email there. That's lloyd@thesingleguy.com. I have some websites as well too, but that's usually for webinars that I'm doing. So a good way to kind of get introduced to me would be to check out one of my free webinars. The next one that I'm going to be doing is on the fundamentals of texting. If you ever looked at your phone and been like, I have no idea what to send, it's a great masterclass for you.
I love it. Yeah. Check it out, guys. Lloyd, thanks so much, bud. It's a pleasure as always. And yeah, I'd love to be on yours and we'll talk about something different again.
Absolutely, man. I love how we came from the topic that we set out we were going to do and drifted
into some talked about our topic, really.
No, we did. We talked about it. We put in a solid 20, 30 minutes in there. But, it was super enjoyable talking to you. We lost track of time. That's the dog.
The dog saying goodbye to it. It's like, you took away my daddy. Awesome, bud. Thanks so much, man.
That's it for today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed yourself. Don't forget to check us out at schoolofattraction.com. I highly recommend you check out my comprehensive and free dating personality test, which you can find by clicking personality test at the top of the page. Thanks again for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in my next podcast.